You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John. And chapter 17. In our study of Hebrews, chapter 12, we're looking at our Lord's admonition to run the race, and that God would do whatever's needed to help us do that, even to the point of discipline. Now, so in order to grab that or have that so you can appreciate it, John chapter 17, you'd remember when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, the Lord Jesus, because the Lord died on the cross, etc., and you come to know him as your Savior. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does saves us. And chapter 17, going directly if I can, to verse 17. Sanctify them in the light of being in the world, verse 14 and 15. God doesn't take us out of the world, but leaves us in it. And leaving us in it, he doesn't leave us alone and abandoned. In other words, the world's the world. So when we come to verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we're different. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, having said that, verse 17, sanctify them through thy word, through thy word. Sanctify them through the truth, that thy truth, thy word is truth. So, God, here we come to know the Lord as our Savior, and God wants us sanctified. So here you are, and God saves you. You have to get saved. God saves you, and then he sanctifies you. He had to die on the cross to save us. He died on the cross and rose again so that we could be sanctified and set apart to be new creatures in Christ. So, having said that, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have an awesome assignment, verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So we have an assignment to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a most awesome way, and to have all the benefits of the relationship in the outworking of our representation. Therefore, God said, not only do I save, verse 19, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that purpose they also might be sanctified through the truth, through God's saving grace. Thy word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So God saves us, and he saves us, and so that he can what? Sanctify us. And so when he saves us and sanctifies us, he not only saves us, but he sanctifies, to set apart, sanctify, to make holy, to set apart. He sets us apart, as we've shared many times. And God's, here's 100 watches. And God saves this watch, and he sets it apart to function. He sets it, all these watches are there. Only this watch is sanctified. He sanctifies it. He sets it apart for himself in a most wonderful way, so that this, all the watches there are ticking away, but this watch is to fulfill its wonderful purpose of telling me the time. It's sanctified. You got that? Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews, and chapter 2. And picking up the same flow of thinking, chapter 2, going to verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels to die on the cross. He can't die as a God, because a God can't die. But he put on a human house, like we have, so that he could die. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. He, the one who's dying for us, God made man, woman, in his image and likeness. God, the man, the born in Bethlehem, our Lord Jesus. He is crowned with glory and honor. That's his purpose. God created us for glory and honor. He, perfect man, is for glory and honor. He's going to go and die for us. Therefore, verse 9, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For reason, it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons to glory, unto glory, to make the captain our Lord. Remember, in Hebrews, we're looking at Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The word Hebrews 12:2. He's the author. Here's the word captain, same word. Author, captain, leader, the originator. So, in verse, verse 10, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through how so? Suffering. God, and what you read in John 17, I sanctify myself to make them sanctified. If I don't, they can never be. I have to do it. I have to die and rise again. Verse 11, 4, both he, the captain, our Lord, both he that sanctifieth, John 17, 19, I should say, for both he that sanctifieth us, sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified, that's us, God sanctifies, his hand puts on a human house, is this it? Puts on a human house to save us. He does that to sanctify us. That's what he does. He does that for us. So that he that sanctified us makes us sanctified. Where are we sanctified? In him. He's the sanctifier, and we find ourselves sanctified in him, set apart. Now, and verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. God is making, it's God's plan to make us a unique oneness. The hand, the watch, they're all the same. Where's the watch? On the hand. The hand, where's the hand? On the watch. It's sanctified. It's set apart. We're one. A unique oneness the watch has. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The family, hang on to that. Sliding down, how did he do it? Adding just verse 14. For as much as then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he died on the cross and rose again. He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He became like us in a most wonderful way to sanctify us and to set us apart. And look at in verse 10, to sanctify, to bring many sons. And sliding down verse 11, we're sanctified. The sons in the Son are sanctified in the sanctifier, God. He sets us apart in himself. He is the Son. And he's doing what? Making us sons, a unique brethren, the same. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here we are, and he's going to bring many sons, verse 10, to glory. That's what he's going to do. So the whole purpose is to do something wonderful for us, to take us from being dead in trespasses and sin, and to save us in him, to make us sons in his glory, for his glory. John 17, 18, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So we've got it. That's what he's doing. Hang on to that. Now, I say I know that. Hang on. I know you know that. But hang on to it. Now, having said that, how are we going to, what it mean to be sanctified? And how does it happen? Over, if you could, please, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read. Verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What's the reason he gave? What are they for? They're for the world to see. No. Their main function of all of that I just read. Evangelist, what's it for? Verse 12, for the perfecting, the completion, the finishing off, to bring to the goal line, for the perfecting of the saints, to perfect them. In what way? For the work of the ministry, to serve, to be able to serve. How so? For the edifying of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the body serves the head. All of you have bodies, and all of your bodies serve you that live inside. Don't they? All of the bodies. I could say your body serves your head, but your head's part of your body, your brain, the blood, the bone, brawn. That's you. All of it is meant to serve you. It isn't meant to serve anybody else. That is just meant to serve you. Got it? That's what your body's for, to serve you. God has a body, the believing heart saved, sanctified, set apart. For what reason? In order that it might serve the head. Who's the head? As you even look at it, even though you know it. Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And hath put all things, 1:22, God, and hath put all things under his feet, that's Christ, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. For the church is his body, verse 23, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The body fills the head, and gives the head a unique function. The head gives the body a unique function because the hand can't think, the hand can't do, it's just a hand. It needs to function. That's what it needs to do. And the body serves the head serves the body. Back over to chapter 4. For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, completion for the work of the ministry service, for the building up of the body of Christ. So the body, now, your sons, the believer is a son in the Son. The believer is set apart for the Son to enjoy the sons, to have fellowship, to be brethren, brethren, family, to enjoy God. And now, what's the whole purpose? We're sitting here, what are we doing? And to say it every now and then, to think about it, we're used to being in meetings, right? Normally, how many times do you think the average person that's a believer going to the church, to Sunday services or whatever, they're going to another meeting, aren't they? It's a meeting like all other meetings, only this is a religious one. True? They aren't going as a body. That's rare. They sit here and you handle your whole day, coming and going, you're free. You aren't, no offense to anybody, we aren't thinking body. The reason we're here, Ephesians 4, 12, is for the body. What's the reason? I just read verse 12, for completion, to bring to the goal line, for ministry, for the building of the body. How are we building up the body? Hang on. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity, the oneness. Remember what you read in Hebrews 1. Till we all come in the unity, the oneness of the truth, the body of truth to be believed, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, complete, full man. Unto the measure, how much, of the stature to grow, of the fullness of Christ. One reason is to grow. The believers in sons, are to grow. Sons, they're growing. Hang on to all this, it'll come together for you, I hope. It's growing, you're growing. That's what we're sitting here for. But normally, the people come here and they're going to hear, let alone anywhere. We're used to going, what, to meeting, a church meeting. That's what we do. We aren't here to understand body, one. We have one purpose, to develop our Lord here and here. So whatever you're doing, it to becoming what? Verse 13, till we all come into oneness, that's what we're doing. Of the faith, the body of truth, to be believed, that's why we're reading the Bible, looking to God's word, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, complete, full man, unto the measure, etc., of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're doing. How often do you think anyone does that? They don't come like that. They don't sit like that. They don't think like that. They're just thinking, do I understand that? Does that make sense? If you open your Bible, does that make sense? That's what you do. That's how we do it. So we don't have any development. What's the absence? We don't find the church body, believers, belonging to the body, so representing Christ, you represent yourself. And that's all that matters, because that's all any meeting is, isn't it? Any meeting, you represent yourself, and whatever. Oh, and sometime there are real places where you have to do it. The people out on the football field, the baseball, football especially, and you've got to have the same play. We're going to play number whatever it is, and we've got to have the same coordination between all people on that team. They have to be able to know when you say, now, everyone does what they're supposed to do. That's coordination for the military, for whatever, for doom. You have that coordination, that oneness. But that's rare in us humans. It's just rare that you have to all time everything. I remember with the oil refinery. I know a fellow in the oil refinery. And here's the big oil refinery in El Segundo, if you want to know. Big oil refinery. I used to live in El Segundo. And here's the big oil refinery. And they have all these different, everywhere, different kinds of stuff. And his job is to sit there in a room full, sounds like a movie or something, full of all these meters and everything that are controlling that whole plant in every aspect of it. It's coming and going. And that's their job. That's their job, to sit there. And here's all these different warnings and everything. And that job is to be able to watch. And they got two or three men there. They all have to be on the same page. So when that trigger, the alarm goes, or the light blinks, each one needs to know what to do. They need to go to each station, push the right buttons, or the plant will go. Literally. Literally. And they have to do it. They get paid a lot of money, and they do, but they have to do it. They have a oneness. They all understand what they're doing. Here we are in the church. What's the church? A bunch of believers that ought to understand what they're doing. They ought to understand what they're doing. What on earth are we in the church for? It's just another meeting. That's all we think, because that's how we do it. We don't understand the body. Now, I don't want to get, I'm getting sidetracked, but hey, do you got that? And that's our problem, because why? We're supposed to grow and develop. And sons in the body in a wonderful way. Sliding down, if I can. I'll read it. Well, I won't even, for time's sake. That henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro, verse 14, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They play dice, and they get us involved in a game, a worldly game, where we lose our wonderful function. They get us sidetracked. We don't want to get sidetracked. Verse 15, but speaking the truth, remember, sanctify us. He sanctifies us in the truth. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Not just to grow up, to mature. The 3-year-old needs to mature to 6, and 6-year-old needs to mature to 10. We need to keep maturing, to grow, not just to grow up. What for? Picking up, if I may, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, every part of the body, all the cells, zillions and millions of them, every part of the body joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure, remember the measure, back up in verse 13, unto the measure of every part, every single part of the, every single believer, making, and what's it going to do? It maketh increase of the body. Back up to verse 12, the end of the verse, edifying the body, building the body up. Back down to verse 16, the end of the verse. The body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's supposed to be building itself up in a most wonderful way. That's what it's supposed to do. So it isn't just you with you. It's God doing a wonderful work in me and you and each one of us. And we're being drawn into the same body. That's what it's about, in a most wonderful way. That's the church. Hard to come by, isn't it? Why? Because we've been corrupted a long time ago. The early church, Acts chapter 2, and thereby, and even by 100 A.D., that's John still writing just before this, Revelation and 1 John. So you get that. And just after that, what happens? They got a whole big mess where you don't want to have the New Testament, Timothy and Titus and all of that. You don't have that. They get sidetracked and they have competitive. And humans get in the way. And who's a bishop? And who's an elder? And who's a better bishop than the other bishop? See? And who has more power and outspoken? And then the assembly is in a dither. And then there's the others. And the other church over here in Lystra, they have a bishop and they have an elder. And we lost the system way back. And God's wonderful, wonderful, glorious saving grace. And all of that. And when I say elder and deacon, and you know all these things, elders and deacons, bishops, elder and bishop, same. They're what? They're elected from among the assembly. They're just us humans trying to help the whole body. God does the gifting. God does. And no school, no education, none of it can compete. You can go to 25 years seminary and you'll never compete when God gifts a man. You can't compete. It's a gift. I'll give you another way to do it. Here's all the people studying biology and all these different things, and they do that. And I'm going to bring Solomon. Remember, use your mind. Here comes Solomon, okay? Here comes Solomon in, okay. And we want to talk about ants, okay? Let's talk about ants, little ants. We hope we don't have any, but we got ants. And here comes Solomon. Now, Solomon never went to ant school. He never did anything. But he'll out-talk that biologist and keep right up with him. God gifted Solomon with all of that knowledge. He didn't do anything. It just came. That's why the Queen of Sheba came to see him. Is there such a man? And she found out there was such a man. When God gives, how can you overcome that? You can't. And anyway, that's part of our problem. We got a whole lot of people in a whole lot of places that just shouldn't be there. But it's our system. And we have meetings. And our meeting is just a meeting. You're not part of it. That's why we try to be one. So when you see us, when you see the local church, you don't see 45 different views about life and appearance and everything. You don't do that. You don't do that. Because we're all common, the same. Why? Because we're pointing to one person. We're pointing to one person, our Lord. And we all back off to be anything. We become lost in an normalcy, an ordinariness. We all look the same. Because it's one person. That's the main point. To show that. Do you understand that? We aren't trying to show how variety we are. We aren't trying to do that. No, there's only one person, our Lord. I don't know, you everything. Well, you don't know all that stuff. Anyway, I'm really sidetracked. Now, in Ephesians, having said that, that most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, God, what are you going to do? Well, we're sons in the Son. Now, so when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and God sanctifies you and sets you apart in Christ for his honor and his glory, God's going to do a wonderful thing. He's going to change your life. When you're out here, I'm saying, yeah, and I'm going to be saved. Ah, so I'm saved. Ah, are you going to understand you're sanctified? Whoops, not sanctified. Because if I'm going to understand being set apart for God, I have to sit on his hand, his wrist, and he's going to change me to fit the wrist. This is going to go here, and this has to match this. Do you understand? I'm jumping ahead, but I'm going back to it. That's why the discipline. Because when we read Hebrews 12, it's about discipline, punishment. Not illegitimate sons, to those that are sons. Because you see, if I'm out here as a son, I'm still a son, saved, but I'm not having to be changed. The minute I'm going to look to God to understand why he saved me and set me apart to be sanctified. And he's going to change my life. And that involves discipline. And if you be, you know it in Hebrews, if you're not chastened, you're not a son. You're a bastard. You're illegitimate. Do you understand that? Because you can't be a son sanctified without being changed. God doesn't tell you you're unsaved. You get saved, and you want to stay unsaved in thinking, acting, and doing. But God crucified you, saved you in a most wonderful way, and set you apart. That's why you're going to be disciplined. But I'm not disciplined. Then you've got a problem, my friend. Because something's wrong. Something's wrong somewhere. And that's why you better. And that's what Hebrews is about. Hebrews is trying to tell you, you can't be a son without being changed. God's going to discipline you. You have children, little children grow up. And you're in the house, and you're trying to raise them, right? Then you're trying to raise them. And you're trying to do that. And you don't just let them. And one of the things, they learn all kinds of things. And one of the first words they learn is no. 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 You have to help them. You have to help them, see. And they in potty training and all of that, and they have to do. You just can't go potty training. If you're in L.A., you can do it. Or New York, but you can't do it. You can't do it when you're a little kid growing up. You can't do it. You can't do it. You train them. You train them. You train them to think, you speak, to what to say, how to say things, thank you, all these different things. They teach them. Help you. I'm trying to help you understand the basis. Because it's sobering. God is trying to tell you there's no way for you to be saved without being changed. It's impossible. God has to do it. You say, well, I don't. Well, because most people don't even think like that. They go to church, we do everything, but we really don't have to think about the seriousness of what God has done when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God saved us from ourselves. He crucified us. That leaves us what? Dead. And dead people don't. They're dead. In order to what? Why am I going to think death in order that I can enjoy life? I must recognize my death in order to enjoy his life. That's what I have to do. Now, I'm really sidetracked. So now, think of all the things you read since we're sidetracked a little bit. Well, I'm trying to help you understand. Why are you running the race? Because you represent him. He doesn't tell you, say, run. Watch it. Look at it. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians. A little exercise. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And just exercise what you know. Otherwise, we're just religious Protestants. You can be religious Catholics, religious cultists, whatever you want to be. We're religious Protestants. What are we protesting? Not much. 2 Corinthians 3, going directly, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Now, but, verse 18, we're free to what? To go from death to life. Verse 18, but we all with open face, nothing covering, we want to see, as we just mentioned about our oneness. We got what? God's changing us, doing a work in us. But we all with open face beholding, as in a glass and a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We're looking in God's word. And as we look in God's word, which we're doing, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. I keep reading, and all of that truth keeps sinking in a little bit, inch by inch, inch by inch. And we're running a race. Philippians. And if I can, Philippians in chapter 3. And before we do 3, I think we'll do chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. And here's Paul. I'm going to pick up if I can. Verse 15. Philippians 2, 15. That purpose, you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Paul, what are you going to rejoice? That I have not, N-O-T, I have not run in vain. Run the race that's before you. Paul is showing us and running the race. That's what he's doing. He's going down the corridor of time, outworking God's wonderful will. What are you saying in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? Run the race that is set before you. Why? The hand is running. The hand is running. The watch on the hand is going to go where the hand goes. The hand is running, the hand is doing, and the watch is sanctified and set apart to go. It isn't going to go, the hand's going and the watch is over here. And that's why the admonition, Paul, at the end of verse 16, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had 3:12. Now I'm going to read verse 3:3, so you pick up a little context. 3:3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. Remember what we just read in Ephesians, perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. What is God has a wonderful plan for my life, and I want to have it. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got the plan's in outworking itself. I haven't completed it. I haven't finished. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but thus this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm going, what am I doing? I'm running. I'm walking by faith, I'm running, outworking the will of God. And therefore, verse 14, I pursue toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What am I looking for? I'm looking for God's outworking, his glory and honor. Remember what we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. He was crowned with glory and honor. And your God has done a wonderful thing in the heart of the believer. And the heart of the believer needs to what? Let it happen. The little baby's born. The little baby can't enjoy a steak dinner. It has to grow. All it can have is milk. It has to grow. And if it never grows, that's not good. It's not good to be 20 years old and saying, go. That's not good. And I saw a person once like that. Wow. So, pursue. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, here it is again and again. Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Remember we read it? 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Everyone's a runner. All thousands of them line up to run. But one receiveth the prize. So run that we may obtain. And every man that striveth not for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, self-control. He's working to run the race. That's what he's doing. The Olympian is trying to change to compete in the Olympics. And he's concentrating on it. Now, verse 25, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore, Paul, applying the principle, so run. Not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not playing a game. I'm running a real race. I have real opposition. Verse 26, I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, submission, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'm trying to be a testimony running the race. But if I don't run the race, God will put me aside. And that's why believers, but we don't want to be a believer that's sort of a bump in the log, sort of dull, like Hebrews 5. Dull. They're there, and they can, Bible. You can have the Bible up to here. And memorize it, God bless you, and have it all in your heart. But one little kid that only knows one verse and believes God is ahead of you. But you memorize this, that's true. But one little kid that's trusting God is way ahead of you. If I had to go to war, I don't need theologians necessarily. I need believers that are believing, that are going to trust God, period. and we don't go, and God, you got to help me. No, I've got to line up with God so that he can do his wonderful work. I don't need him as my helper so much. I need him as my Savior and Lord. And then I will understand how much he helps me and teaches me so that I can run the race. Therefore, back over to Hebrews 12. You're getting the idea. I didn't get very far, but I'm just trying to admonish you to understand why Hebrews 12. Why are you going to, verse 1, we are so compassed about with greater cloud of witnesses, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We did all these things. And let us run with patience, bearing up under the load the race that is set before us. And then you're going to slide down. Remember we did it in verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction and say, boy, it's hard if I'm going to run the race. The world doesn't want me to run the race. The world doesn't even want light in the darkness. So, boy. But God said, before you get tired and weary, understand what I did. I went all the way to the cross, bearing your sin and shame and punishment in my own body in the tree. So before you say anything's too hard for you, consider myself, said God, what I did for you. And you'll never have to go through what I did. I bore the sin of the whole world in one shot on Calvary's cross. You'll never have that. Never. Therefore, verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, showing striving against sin. You haven't had that. You're never going to have. You may have trouble, as we shared all those things, but, and you have forgotten the exhortation of verse 5, that speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art. Don't get tired about being chastened. You're a believer. And if you're not chastened, you must not be a believer. God's what going to change your life? And say, boy, it's hard. Yes, it is hard to try to do the right thing in the right way, to think right, and be contrary even to your own family that may not believe. May not believe. But you want to believe. And you want to show it. That's what you're doing, looking to God. And God helps us so that we can do it. And God says, don't back off. Don't watch. Don't try to get out of it so you don't have trouble. A, you can't get out of it if you're truly, truly, truly saved. You can't get out of it, but you can get in trouble, like it says in Hebrews, 1 Corinthians 11, etc. You get in trouble. 1 Corinthians 3, trouble. You're saved as by fire. Hebrews, 1 Peter 4. If the righteous hardly with difficulty get saved, what about the unsaved? If I just I just squeeze them in, people that are saved, let alone people that aren't saved. Now, so therefore the discipline, a discipline, in verse 8. But if you be willing, without chastisement, we don't have any. No, I don't have any. Who cares? I'll do whatever I want. Oh, go ahead. Whereof all, A-L-L, are partakers. Who's the exception believer? There isn't an exception. What you do, you know from your own life, our life, you grow up. You grow up. And they get lots of spankings and grow up, and you get spankings and discipline. But then you grow and you learn. Why don't I get spankings in the same way as I did at 10 years old? Because I'm not 10 years old anymore. And I've learned not to do some things because you get a spanking for it. So I learn. That's how I do it, isn't it? You and I have matured. So there's things you don't do. As I said that to someone the other day, you can say it too. I can tell you my little history and your history. Here we are. I'm not going to tell you how to do everything, but I can surely tell you how not to do some things. I know enough. Don't do that. That way, it'll never work. I know that much. And I don't have the same thing. It's different. God's doing everything in us. He has to. Has to. And part of the... I can't even tell you why. Do you understand why this... I don't see any discipline. I don't see any chastening. Israel. Exodus. Israel's in the wilderness, etc. At 40 years. God, and thereafter a little bit. God is going to go on wonderfully if they'd practice and exercise and execute God's word. God would bless them. And if you, whatever, all those different things. And all the discipline is there. Parents stone your son, etc., if he's bad. All the discipline over there. Wonderful, wonderful chastening. Why? To make them grow. But when they don't care, like in Judges, everyone did that which is right in his own eyes. And thereafter the kings. And thereafter the unbelief of Israel, the 10 tribes and the 2. Unbelief. I can't find God anywhere. No one cares about God. Jeremiah cared about God. There are dear people that care about God. But the system is no more holy. When God's in the temple and the believers are fresh and with it, man, everything around Israel's awesome. God's in the temple. If God moves out of the temple, the temple's just another building, like Moses' bush. It's just another bush. That's all it is. And so God, here we are looking. God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. And we have to understand, when you don't care, there's no evidence of chastening or anything, because it doesn't matter. So that's where we are. Anyway, hope you got to quit. Thank you. Hope you got a little bit. We sort of wanted, I'm just trying to get you to understand why you're going to have to run, why you get chastened. Because you can't be a son. Because Christ in you is going to change you. You have to be like him. How can you be saved and not be like him? Anyway, I got to quit. Thanks.